Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm right about, or tell me why I'm wrong, why everybody's wrong. I said, they've left the fans no outs. This all started with a conversation where Chad Brinker, team president, Tennessee Titans, and his new general manager, Mike Borgonzi. I think that's who it is. You said Nate Borgonzi, and now I can't stop saying it.
Yeah, there's no way.
So Mike Borgonzi. They had said, hey, we're not going to pass up on a generational talent. Travis Hunter? Okay, what's that mean for Cam Ward? Well, no, we're still afraid to take Cam Ward. People are afraid to take quarterback no matter what. Because you don't trust Andrew Berry. You don't trust the head coach. You don't want them to make decisions that are going to be have meaningful impact. A quarterback that high or anywhere. Guys, a quarterback anywhere is going to have meaningful impact. If you take Jackson Dart and you have to start in week 6, don't tell me you're not going to have any hope for Jackson Dart that it becomes the next big thing. And if he sucks, you're going to use it against the general manager. You will. Okay? We all know this. So you can't give me that part about it, but I get you guys. You don't trust him. You don't trust them to make the right decisions. It's scary for everybody out there. Also, Myles Garrett has been named a finalist for AP Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Good on Myles Garrett.
Did you see Sertan won some vote, one of the early votes for Defensive Player of the Year? Not the big one.
Oh, okay.
But one of the Football
Was it like
Writers
Sporting News?
Of America or something.
No, it's like a smaller one than that because Andy Reid won Coach of the Year. And it's like, yeah.
All right. But you don't trust them. And then, you know, I just took a call from Brett and Chesterlin. He's like, well, Jimmy Haslam can do anything. It's his team. Okay, but anytime you talk about Jimmy Haslam getting involved with football, nobody says any support of that. So you're stuck. He stayed out of football. He's bringing these guys back. He's showing you, I'm letting my football guys do the job. Except now you want him to go in there and you want him to fire people. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
It is.
You just say we're all wrong.
I just don't like that we have to preface every discussion with, well, we would normally do this, but if you don't trust the GM, then you went, well, then, guys, what are we wasting our time with anyway then? No, I don't trust. Maybe I trust, you know, truth be told, Andrew Berry's made some nice trades, so maybe I trust him on the trades. But when it comes to, you know, actually making the draft picks, yeah, this is going to be a new spot. He hasn't had first-round picks except for one. That he's actually had to make the choice. So it's not like I have a huge, huge sample size to understand that. But if these guys are in place and they're making decisions, yeah, I have to have some hope that maybe the next one will be great. Maybe the next first-round pick will be great. And it is just a hope. But if the Haslams, I'm not going to call for them to fire Andrew Berry every day. Like, they're not firing him. They're not. But that doesn't mean that I want them to do a different thing in the draft because I don't trust them.
Yeah, that's where you're different from a lot of people. I know there's things that you want them to do, but I think that people think that it's a waste. It's a waste to take a quarterback. It's a waste. They've heard nothing but bad things about these QBs.
You don't think they're starting to hear good things?
I wish I could, but we got Daryl coming on saying, well, we got to trade down to 10, and we got to stay within the top 10. I'm hearing nothing but bad things about these guys. All right, it scares the bejesus out of everybody. And I've tried to say good things about these guys. I don't want to hear it. Shador Sanders, too flashy, his dad, Colorado, I don't know. I've tried to find some good things to say. I think that he's made himself better week after week after week, year after year after year. No one wants to hear that. Cam Ward, I don't want to trust him. Okay, well, then we'll take ourselves a nice guy in the third and fourth round, and we'll probably get a third and fourth round type of quarterback that's not going to do anything for this football team. And we'll go out and we'll get ourselves a vet, and we'll stock our room. We'll get ourselves a veteran from the free agency, which we'll do anyway, and we can go take a nice third and fourth round guy. We could probably end up more like Jake Delhomme, Seneca Wallace, and Colt McCoy during that time. We can do that. It didn't go anywhere, but it was very comforting for everybody. And Colt McCoy did a truck commercial, so we got that out of the deal. Like, that's, I don't want to repeat that, but can I, and I think people want this, and Jonathan, damn it, I'll give him credit, this is where he's doing it. He is standing out there on the balcony, yelling, telling everybody daily about Shedeur Sanders. He wants him, bring him here, and I don't have that confidence yet. I don't have that confidence about Cam Ward. I'm considering Will Howard later on. I'm considering Jackson Dart later on. I'm considering, because of the information that I'm getting from Jason, that Kevin Stefanski's going to have a major say in this. All right, Kevin Stefanski, he calls a more conservative offense. There's history there with Kirk Cousins. Okay, we're going to get the pot roast, or we're going to get the quarterback maybe later on in the draft. We'll trade down. We'll stockpile some picks. Everybody's happy for right now, even though everybody will probably be very angry later on in the season. But as of right now, everybody's happy. I'll tell you why. That's part of the reason I don't want to trade Myles Garrett. Hey, I'd like to take a swing at some decency here. Maybe the guy will end up being okay. Whatever they do. I don't want to trade him right now. Plus, we got a major league cap hit on our hands if we take on Myles, if we trade Myles Garrett right now that nobody wants to talk about. No one just wants to give away. I know it's like, hey, we can afford all these different things, so you might as well do it. No one wants to trade away a player like that and not get anything in return except for dead cap. You don't want to do that.
Well, no. The point of trading Miles would be the star-studded draft picks that you would be trying to get in return. That would be the only
reason. In the draft that people keep saying is bad, we keep downplaying the draft.
You wouldn't trade Myles Garrett for all the picks in the world in this draft.
Okay.
You'd be talking about future draft picks.
And that's why,
blockbuster move.
And you'd have to check this. That's why it would probably be more prudent to trade him before a trade deadline at 2025 during the season than it would be now. Because maybe you could still get a first rounder. Maybe you would, and I'm giving maybes. Maybe it'd still be a good football team. We wouldn't have to worry about it. That's what I'm trying to hope for. Or maybe you'd still get a first rounder and do right by the franchise and do right by him. I can't say never trade the guy, but I don't think it helps work out where, all right, if I traded him and I went down, do I get Abdul Carter or do I not get Abdul Carter? All right, I might get Abdul Carter. And can I also get Mason Graham? Are those both going to be as good as Myles Garrett? Because we could be sitting there during football games going, wish we had these two in Myles Garrett. You wouldn't have had those two in Myles Garrett. You would have had one of them in Myles Garrett. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
It's the lesser of evils here in the draft and free agency. And that's the really hard thing about this.
And I'll tell you this before we get to the phones. Because of that, or I'm like, I'm left with nothing left to do. It's almost go bust. Fine. If Shedeur Sanders says no, I can't take Shedeur Sanders. I can't make him play for me. But if Cam Ward's there or Shedeur Sanders says yes, you know what? You might as well go for the gusto. You've left us, but no choice. You have a $100 chip left. Put it down. Let it ride. And if you come up diamonds, you come up diamonds. It's a great story. Or you end up in the back alley. One of the two. Let's go to the phones. Eric in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Eric.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not on the name calling. When I was talking to your screener, I was saying that I gave a name that called it, you know.
It's okay.
It's derogatory, but
okay.
I don't like that. But the thing is that I disagree with the fact that they should trade Miles and trade Ward, because a few years ago, it was Trevor Lawrence. Last year, it was Caleb Williams. Neither of those guys turned out to be the quarterbacks that they thought. You just got to keep swinging as they keep pitching. And with the defense, I don't think the defense is that far off. I think that Schwartz is more so gearing it towards the running quarterback. We always have good success. We always had good success playing against Jackson, always had good success against playing against Mahomes. He seems to gear his defenses towards that, which is the end thing right now. I've watched a lot of Shedeur Sanders. I rarely agree with Aaron about anything, but I do agree with him about this. That kid is tough. I saw him stare in the eyes of, you know, defenses coming at him and still sling that ball very, very accurately. It's about, you know, just taking a swing at a guy, you know. You never know. None of this stuff is an exact science. So you just got to take a swing at a good quarterback. And Daryl's saying trade down, trade down, trade down. He's talking about the Manning kid. What's to what's to say that that kid is going to be any better than these guys that are in here now that they were talking about that were supposed to be
Bingo. It's not just that, Eric. And I say this to other people as well, and you hit it out of the park, and thank you very much for the call. You know, we're all saying, well, Shedeur Sanders isn't going to want to play here, so stop talking about him. What's the guarantee that if we're going to do it this way, what's the guarantee that Arch Manning's going to want to play here?
Right.
That he's going to do it. Oh, well, Peyton played at Tennessee. As if that has anything to do with anything. You think Peyton Manning, if you're not running a good, sound franchise for the Manning family, they're not going to let you take their grandson or nephew or son. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, the Mannings, who famously didn't really want to go certain places.
They will be still be friends with you. I mean, they know David Cutcliffe very, very well. Arch Manning is an Ole Miss legend. They fired David Cutcliffe. Now, I don't think the Mannings did it, obviously, but they fired the powers that be fired David Cutcliffe as the head coach at Ole Miss years ago. Years ago. They don't care. It's about what are you doing? It's business. They can still be friends, and they can be as friends if they want to with the Haslams, which I'm sure they are. But if they do not believe that they're running a sound franchise, yeah, they'll squeeze that trigger. They'll do it all the time. They've done it before, and they'll do it again. So we could go, if we don't want to do this with Shedeur Sanders, guess what? We can get ready to do it next year with Arch Manning. Or what if he doesn't come out of the draft? Then I've just wasted away another year. What am I going to do? Am I going to talk myself into someone else? Because if I just keep waiting for a better situation, that's what I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep waiting. Yeah, I have been forced into this decision. I'm not going to guarantee the same results as Jaden Daniels. I'm not going to guarantee the same results as any of the other guys. This draft class is this draft class. But they've left us with very few choices. Very few choices. And it comes down to the point of, yeah, you're going to need to take a ride with one of these guys. Or if you want to, fine. We can trade down. We can take a guy later on. Just don't be surprised if everybody gets fired and this thing still doesn't end up where it needs to go. Because you could end up being just good enough next year to not have any of these selections. And then you'll have to give up even more for other quarterbacks that you still don't know about. You want to give up a bunch of picks for Lenore Sellers? Do people know who that is?
No, nobody has any
Thank
idea
you.
Right now.
Do people want to give up a bunch of other picks for a bunch of other guys? I'm thinking of other quarterbacks.
So are they going to talk their way into those guys next year?
You guys
or out
want to give up
again?
A bunch of? They'll talk themselves out of it. Do you guys want? Hey, as of right now, are you guys willing to give up 2026 picks for Drew Aller? Are you willing to do it for Garrett Nussmeier? These are names that guys like you and me know about, and they know about Drew Aller. They don't know about Nussmeier or Lenore. They don't know about those guys. Are you willing to give it up for them? Because Arch Manning, I mean, everybody's known about Arch Manning for a decade. It's easy to do that. You want the guaranteed generational thing. Except if you don't have the first overall pick, why would they give up on it? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time.
Ken, are you even excited for this weekend?
I am excited for setting the tone right now. Oh, you can't
just sabotage.
Oh, my God.
It just
Cookie
got sabotaged.
Just sabotaged setting the tone.
It's the worst timing ever.
Get over here and get on the mic.
We got Cookie Pie.
Get on
the
mic, you ignorant slut. Get on the microphone here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Cookie Pie has made an appearance. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well,
hi.
Get it on the cameras.
Yeah, he's got it on the cameras, doesn't he? There it is.
Is it high enough?
There it is.
Looks good.
Cookie Pie
good.
Brought the Cookie Pie.
Should
happy,
I down here?
Happy vasectomy for Anthony Lima.
Nice
love
flowers.
It. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're a wonderful man.
My wife wants me to cancel. We are getting in a heated discussion right
if
now.
If he cancels, does he have to give you the cookie pie back?
You owe me $12.99.
Well, good luck, because he all already right. owes you $200.
Oh, that's right.
For the limo.
Nice. Yeah, the limo.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you were going to bring that up on the
internet. Oh, I was going to bring it up right now.
Oh, my.
Did you get laughter over the phone when you were ordering this or in person?
I did it in person. I asked the lady if she had a good sense of humor, and then I asked... Yeah. If she could write that.
Does she want to come watch
the
vasectomy?
She asked how to spell it.
I'm doing it in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. So.
Get her over here.
It's 3 o'clock tomorrow is when he's getting the vasectomy.
Good luck, buddy.
Didn't you get yours done?
That's a very personal question.
But we're on the radio, so answer it or not.
No, I've not.
Okay, there you go. What do you mean?
That's a very personal question.
Come on now.
What about Lower Sweet Paul? What about other your friends that can invite all the cool things that we don't get invited to?
A couple of them have. I don't know about Paul.
Oh, that's just
go ahead, Tookie Pie. Power rank the vasectomy.
Yeah, power rank them. Here we go.
The music's playing.
You can't hear the music.
I can't hear
you. Gotta go.
My personal friends that have had vasectomies.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just name them.
Let's see. Brendan is probably number one.
Right.
Nick.
Oh, Nick.
Have I met Nick?
I heard about Nick's ordeal. It was rough.
The doctor complimented his shaving technique.
Well done.
So that was a big deal.
Do I got to be fully clean from front to back?
Like, what back. You beat me to it, you bastard.
I think you need to make an effort.
I got some lower back.
I don't know where they go in.
He's Italian. He's got a little bit more hair than a lot of us.
I don't know what route they're taking, but I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was so nice.
Thank you. That's very nice. We're going to get after this. Mitch hasn't experienced cookie pie yet for our big celebration.
You are... You've gotten a gift for the vasectomy. Yeah. We were trying to start the segment here. Yes. I got you a gift for this.
Let's go.
What is this?
Shut up.
Sometimes he's tough talking.
The guy has had worse Januaries than the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Now, they might get a pardon.
Sometimes he's truth telling.
Because if we lose the Browns and the parade, I can already predict Mayor Bibb's future. It starts with Al and ends with Paca.
But he's never tone deaf.
What the hell are we doing? Find out.
Setting the tone here for what's to come over the weekend?
I'm just telling you right now, you better be dialed in.
It's time for setting the tone.
I'm gonna roll up my sleeves here. This is a big weekend. I'm going to be sitting around.
Yeah, you are.
Icing the jewels. Watching nothing but football on Sunday. At least that's what I think I'm doing unless we cancel. So how excited are you for football this weekend? Some call it the greatest day in sports, NFL Championship Sunday. Well, if the previous playoff numbers are any indication, well, you're losing interest. How is that possible? Wild card round, down 8%. Divisional round, down 16%. What has happened to the once proud NFL we know and love? They used to print money like it's a U.S. government during a national pandemic. How bad is it? The commissioner immediately shifted to talking about an 18-game schedule. Yeah, that's what Browns fans are sitting around clamoring for come January. Hey, can we get another week?
More games.
Of this death march to nowhere? And can I spend more money on my season tickets?
More Bailey Zappe.
More Bailey Zappe? More games? More money? Demanding that we tank more? Of course, one more dangerous game for players to get hurt. Why don't we have the players go shoot a movie in the desert with Alec Baldwin while we're at it? So this Sunday is supposed to be the greatest day in sports. I'm not feeling it. Why is it not even in the top 20 for me? You're calling it a great sports weekend. In one game, you got penalty flag merchant Mahomes, load management Kelsey, a running back that we gifted to the best team in football so we can at least watch someone from Cleveland who loves the Browns win a Super Bowl. And don't forget Mahomes and his seven favorite teammates. The back judge, the side judge, the field judge, the line judge, the down judge, the umpire, and of course the true MVP, the head referee. Oh, and you like that? Hopefully for the Chiefs fans' sake, Harrison Butker can make history by simultaneously kicking the game-winning field goal and telling his wife to get back in the kitchen to cook the post-game meal.
The Tone Master General tells it like he sees it.
Oh, we got more. Any other game, you got the Eagles, the most hated team in the NFL by their own players. You think you hate your coworkers, Owen and Mitch?
Outstanding.
These guys really hate each other. They even hate their head coach, and they've won 9 or more games 18 times since 2000. The Browns have done that 4 times in the same time span. And yet, we can't even get our players to seem to love each other and the coach to win football games. Now, don't worry. We're pretty good at plucking some of that organizational talent from Philly, have we not? To try to emulate their success, like Joe Banner. If you catch him on the right day on social media, not only will he take credit for all of Philly's success, despite not actually working there in 13 years, he'll also tell you in the most totally objective way what's going on in the Middle East. And that's why I like Joe Banner. I mean,
check
he fixes
your tone
everything.
With Anthony Lima.
Meanwhile, the Browns also poached Andrew Berry, who is the second most accomplished personnel executive between him and his identical twin brother. Go Commanders. That's the weekend. Get ready. You really think this is the best weekend in sports?
Oh, my God.
We've argued about this over time. I see guys like Adam Schein.
That was scorched earth.
Danny Parkins. Nothing better than championship weekend. You're stuck with 2 games. If they're blowouts, where do you turn to? Nowhere. I got to go get another ice pack in the freezer. I just don't. I think, honestly, the regular season is better. Because you get all the games on Sunday, and you get all the college football games, and it doesn't end. Because then you get Thursday to Monday.
I agree. Championship weekend's overrated.
Buffalo and Kansas City's going to let you down.
I hope not. I hope it's an
awesome
game.
I think the refs will let me down.
See, that's where we're at. Yeah. That's the credibility of this league right now.
It's not weak. It's true. It's weak. I don't give a damn. I mean, if anybody wants to do a contrarian opinion, fine. That's fine with me. But I don't give a damn. The American people agree with me. They know it. You are a Chiefs fan. You're allowed to be a Chiefs fan. I'm going to have Daryl in here tomorrow, and he's going to yell at you, and he's going to get all emotional. He's going to be an emotional boy.
Check his tone with me.
Now, I do want to ask, do you have any kind of feeling about, like, it was Odell Beckham in the Super Bowl.
That was Don Rickles-esque, some of the stuff you just did.
We had a couple of years ago, Odell Beckham was looking like he was going to win MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember
now,
that.
Now, because he didn't play in the second half, it kind of took some of that away. But something very interesting is developing here with Kareem Hunt, because it is a great story for what was a terrible situation. I mean, Kareem Hunt looked like he was going to be the next great back in the NFL. Mm. And then he had to watch at home without a football team. I mean, was he on the commissioner's exemplars, or was he just cut at that point after the terrible situation that happened down here? So he had to sit there and watch Kansas City win the Super Bowl. Then he comes to Cleveland and he starts to rebuild not only his character, you know, he matures as a human being, and he does a really good job with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But then we say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
And he went and joined up with the best team to ever join up with, the Kansas City Chiefs. He has a way to make this a remarkable story. Do you think in Cleveland people are going to feel happy for him?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be more about how do we let him get away?
Because
it wasn't like he was killing it with us.
No, a little bit.
He had two teams he could play for.
No. That's
and
different.
They've had injuries the last 2 years.
You're right. Owen is correct. And I think this is correct, what I'm about to say. They don't blame him. And you said it was like him killing it. No, the Browns didn't put him in a position to kill it. Hey, I said, hey, he's got to be at the end of the line. That's it. Plenty of people called in before the season. They wanted Kareem Hunt. I thought it was just because he was a hometown kid. And, hey, he had done well for the Browns, but we knew it was at his end. Guess what? You guys were right, and I was wrong. Totally wrong. All the people that called in, and I disagree. I didn't shout anybody down, thank God. Mm. But all the people that disagreed, respectfully, you were right. I was wrong. He still has something left. And I think a lot of people have that connection with it. I mean, he's been through a lot of personal problems. Some of them he's caused himself, certainly. But he's been through a lot of personal problems. I mean, he was in the situation that happened in the hotel, that's horrible as it is. The other situation on the highway, that was really bad. He was in a dark place.
He was.
He was in a really dark place personally there. So I don't know where he is personally now. I've only talked to the guy a handful of times in my life. Obviously, I knew his college coaches. But I hope that he's in a much better place mentally, spiritually, and hopefully this helps. Because everywhere he goes, he seems to, which he's only been to Cleveland and in Kansas City, and the places that he's been, he's done a good job. He's done a good job. That'd be the only redeeming quality
out of a Kansas
that I would
City
have
win.
Out of a Kansas City win. I'm tired of the conversation about the Chiefs. Ever since this referee thing, I'm just done. I'm done. I'm ready to root for the Bills.
So
I'm ready to hope that Josh
question.
Allen does well.
Is there a chance that this, if ever there was a week after this national conversation to rough Patrick Mahomes, this would be the week? Everybody's paying attention to this. This has become a national story. We played the
Why?
Audio
They're
earlier
just
in the show.
They're going to throw a flag on you.
So that's what I'm asking.
They're going
to
throw a flag.
Is there any chance to be a little bit more overcompensating that, I don't know, if he tries to do that tightrope walk along the sidelines and gets roughed around a little bit, that the referees look at each other? Because they know. Because you know the Bills are going to be talking to the referees about this before the game.
You better go James Harrison and get your money's worth, because you are going to get fined and you are going to get flagged.
Like the Goff hit. The Goff hit last week after the interception was brutal.
Like, that's where you got to be careful with some of this, because I think if you're an NFL player, like if you're Will Anderson, you're going to go, okay, you're going to find me anyway and you're going to throw a flag. I'm getting my money's worth. Be ready. Here it comes. I don't want to cost my team, but if we're going to do this, I'm going to hit him as hard as I possibly can. And we will see some old style Merton Hanks, Steve Atwater type of hitting.
Man, you don't want your defensive players nervous, because that's when Mahomes is at his best. That touchdown that he threw, where he was diving down to the ground and then throws, it was a Kelce wide open in the end zone.
Yes.
That's the stuff that you can't let happen. And I mean, it's almost impossible. It's really hard. I get it. But you can't shy away from trying to make contact with the guy all game long, because he will just kill you. If you're able to do that.
But now he's got it set up where he knows how the system works and he can make guys second guess. It's going to be a very difficult task. Is Darius Garland a scapegoat?
Seems like it after yesterday.
Who's he a scapegoat for, though? Who's the escape goat for? Is this Darius or is this Donovan on Darius? Oh, this is a caller talking.
Oh, I
beg
this.
My pardon. Because this is where I think this is going. Go ahead and hit Chuck from Hinckley.
What makes it difficult to forgive him and not call it a choke is because he's been running his gums for 2 weeks like a politician to try to get into the All-Star game, and it was your time to step up to the line. This is schoolboy stuff in the gym. You got 3 free throws to win the game and get possession of the ball and seal the game. You failed. And to laugh about it, I wasn't laughing. I called him a choker.
That was Chuck's first ever call to the fan.
The first one.
He said it was his first call, and I go, okay. A lot of other things he said in the call were agreeable. I didn't agree with that. He was asked a question. It was a leading question about him being an All-Star. He's going to have confidence in himself. He's a professional basketball player. I think he was set up to say that he should be an All-Star. I don't think he was, quote-unquote, flapping his gums to get into the All-Star game. I think he's a scapegoat for fans. I think that he has been a guy that we've gotten very comfortable in criticizing. Donovan Mitchell was asked about it yesterday, and Donovan Mitchell, and credit to him, Donovan Mitchell said the right things, and it's easy to say the right things when you're 36-7, but this is what Donovan said, which was a perfect line.
I'd rather it now than in June. That's how I tell them. Do it now. And all the mistakes happen now, and we're fine. Like, he's fine. He's going to, you know, be hard on himself, as we all would be, you know, and that's why he's so great in what he does. But I told him, look, at the end of the day, we wouldn't have been able to get to those free throws if you didn't do what you did. So he's been great all year, great in the fourth all year. It happens.
It's all true, and Donovan also knows he was 1-for-8 from 3 points last night and 7-of-21 from the field, which isn't much worse than Darius Garland, who led the way with 26 points. Honestly, they needed Evan Mobley. They needed Evan Mobley. If they had Evan Mobley, they probably would have won that game.
Yeah, they got abused.
Houston's a good basketball team, the 29-14.
They did. They got abused. Jared Allen really had his work cut out for him, obviously, the way that game unfolded. You look at overall, you know, the rebounding numbers, the Rockets dominated the glass. You know, does that happen if Evan Mobley is there? Probably not. And you can see where they miss Evan. They're definitely a different team without Evan. And you could tell, like, they needed Donovan Mitchell to play really, really well in the Phoenix game, the Minnesota game. But, you know, they have their third loss in the last 2 weeks. It was rarefied air. They're 36-7. They're still having a freaking phenomenal regular season.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, this one comes to us from last weekend before the Eagles-Rams playoff game. This is Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker trying to hype up the fans going into the game, and a bit of a snafu during her speech.
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-F-E-S.
Oh, no.
Let's go, Birds!
Stuff's come back from that one.
Should I save everybody the obvious social media tweets that would follow something like that? Three very different letters that, you know, people are screaming out at their car.
Moving on.
What was that? How could she not spell? That's one. You have one job. You do have one job in this case. How are you botching that? I don't care how much pressure. She spoke in front of people before. Come on.
There is another chant that's like E-E-A-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-A-G-L-E-S. And it takes me a minute to put it together myself.
I would screw that up. That,
yeah,
that
but
I would
at the
screw
end
up.
Of the song, they do that chant, right?
Yeah.
When they go
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Fly after, at the end of Fly, Eagles, Fly.
I grew up, my high school was the Eagles. We did Eagle Jacks. I knew how to spell Eagles from a very
young
age.
Perry, there were Perry Jacks. You can't mess up P-E-R-R-Y. You can't do that. It should be called the Philadelphia Perrys. Be pretty easy to do. Ooh, that's a bad look for her. Huh. Have I messed up anything? See, I don't want to mess up anything that bad. What did I mess up?
Continuously and all the time.
No, not all the time.
Just every day.
Continuously, though, that is true. That's a fantastic find by you. Is Darius Garland a scapegoat for the fans?
So it's crazy.
Not for Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's like, hey, you know.
It's crazy because he was their best player yesterday, Darius.
Leading scorer, 26.
He continues to shoot the ball so much better than anybody else. Like, it's few and far between in the NBA right now shooting as good as he is. Kyrie is up there. There's very few players in the entire league shooting the way that he is. And that's why it was so startling that not only did he miss those last free throws, he ended up missing 5 on the day when he had only come into the game missing the entire season. So it was total anomaly compared to how he's played the entire season.
It is a little bit of a small setback with the fan base because, again, I feel that people wait for Darius to mess up. I feel that I think there's some Colin Sexton love back there, even though I don't think that people can. I think that 6 out of 10 people who call themselves Cavs fans on the street can't tell me who Colin Sexton plays for right now. But there's still some Colin Sexton love back there. They blame Darius for some things. Darius is the better ball player. That's just what it is. And Darius has come on so strong this year. Yeah, I got to call what last night was. Last night, yeah, it was a choke because I don't want to do the mental gymnastics and then have that thrown in my face another time. Even though I could kind of reserve that right if I wanted to just be a fan, okay, I guess, but I know the truth in my heart. And so if I know the truth in my heart, yes, at that moment, it was a choke job by Darius Garland. But it was a January choke job, and it also it kind of gives me a reason to reset the rest of the season because now you're at 36-7. You're not going to chase the Golden State Warriors. You probably never were, but it was going to be a consideration for fans. You've lost a couple here and there. Evan Mobley, the calf injury is lingering. So when people bring up, well, you haven't gone through your injuries yet, like Orlando's gone through hellish injuries. Who just got hurt yesterday and has made for some hell for another basketball team out there? Either way, Orlando's gone through it. A couple other teams have gone through it with hellish injuries.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you very much. I knew that. So, or I couldn't remember. Maybe, hopefully that's just, knock on wood, your history or your injury problems that you could have. It also gives me a reason to flip a switch. Because now if I'm not chasing that history and I'm trying to keep guys fresh and ready and I'm experimenting with some different sets, okay, maybe I can go out there and experiment with some different lineups, get to the stretch run before the postseason, after the All-Star break, and then eventually, yeah, maybe we'll have a chance to flip the switch. Because you can't flip the switch on 36-7. You could, when we were 34-5, you couldn't flip the switch on them. So you can't flip the switch on great basketball teams when they start off the year. Now, if you're getting ready for a postseason run, boom, we're flipping the switch. I don't know what's going to happen with it when it comes to Boston or when it comes to Oklahoma City, but that's a consideration we'll have for those days.
Is there any kind of not a sigh of relief? Because you want the team to be great. You want to do really cool things, but now we're done talking about them chasing the Warriors. You know, the 72.
A sigh of relief in how?
73 and 9 year. Because we don't have to hang on every loss is going to be disastrous. And, you know, you look at the standings right now, they're still in great shape. They are 5.5 games ahead of the Boston Celtics.
It makes it a little bit easier to take some of the losses. But I also know that because you've had so few of them, if you put together a few losses here, like, okay, they're 2-whatever over the last 10. Or you're 8-whatever over the last 10. Okay, there's 2 losses. People are going to take that into account. And I can't go back. I know the rest of Chuck's call, even though I disagreed with him about Darius Garland and him saying how he's an all-star, because Darius Garland's going to say that if asked. The Kenny Atkinson stuff is true. Like, hey, you'd have a chance better than just Donovan Mitchell hoisting a 3 from the corner, a fall-away 3 from the corner. You could have done something better than that. But Chuck and Hinkley was right about that. Are you getting any more? These are your last few minutes before the vasectomy tomorrow.
My phone is just full. It is full. I've got a
Facebook friend, Keith, not our boss, Keith Britton, says, I don't know why, but he said, don't have sex. I don't know why she wouldn't want to have sex. He said his ex-wife wanted to have sex the day he got his vasectomy, and it ended up being not good for his, you know.
Go ahead.
Wasn't good. It wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a good thing, and it kind of lasted like a month.
Mm-hmm.
So for Keith, he's giving you advice. Do not.
Thank you.
If Sarah's like, well, you've done this for me. This is nice. According to Keith, I wouldn't do it.
I don't want to think about this ever again.
Well, you're going to be thinking about it all day tomorrow.
No.
Unless you get a stay. If you get a pardon on this, will you call in tomorrow morning? Will you call in tomorrow?
Yeah,
anyway?
Sure. Whatever. Fine.
Can you give me some time away from Daryl tomorrow?
Yeah, fine.
I'm kidding. We have a podcast coming up after the show. I had a feel-good double feature that I think everybody's going to agree with me coming up on the podcast. It happened over the weekend. A nice review for everybody. That's coming up at 10:15 Eastern on the free Odyssey app. 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. Make sure you're listening. Mary Kay Cabot says, Jalen Milroe in play for the Cleveland Browns. Hear that interview, 92.3thefan.com. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Hey,
sounds good.
Cool, I got on the last show.